You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is Dave Freeland, your host on Sounds of Joy, inviting you to listen Sunday mornings at 6 on WCNO FM.
God bless you. This is Pastor Edmund Rivera of Iglesia de Dios Pentecostal of Palm City, Florida. Our worship services are conducted in Spanish and English. We are a bilingual church. Services are Tuesdays and Fridays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 6:30 p.m. is our evangelistic service. So come and worship with us. Al esta tu casa de refugio. Make this your house of refuge. For more information, please call 706-414-5827. God bless you.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City, Florida.
And we live?
Yeah, we're live now.
Hey!
If we can ever find where you're open,
find the
to,
intro.
Your open yes. is gone.
You know what's going to happen, Vince?
This what?
We're going to say to compliance that this was a best of and we repeat last week's show because he lost the intro. And Mike, you never did record yours yet. any place.
No, I thought Nikki did that.
Well, not on here yet. Have you ever told her what to say?
No.
Hummina hum. This is the Team Martech Hour, and what happened is, for those of you that listen regularly, Pastor Tom is in the hospital, and we think getting bypass surgery, which is normally emergency, so a few extra prayers out there wouldn't hurt Pastor Tom.
That's true.
That's right.
I mean, I got a text a little while ago asking if I could run down here. There's a live show and no notation of how to do it.
Exactly.
I have a key for the door and I know how to put a mic on.
Is this kind of like being married?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Oh, no.
Anyway, so what happens is we're kind of ad-libbing today, but let me just explain what we do. Team Martech is a group of local professionals. I am Joe Martech. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker or a securities principal, multiple licenses. And basically my job is to make people money and to help them understand the different options to making money. Now, in putting our team together, which we started to do around 2004 on the radio, we've done multiple radio shows. We've done them in Palm Beach County. We do them in St. Lucie County, and we now do them in Martin County for the last few years. We brought in other local professionals to answer the questions for our clients. In my opinion, if you're a credible professional, you associate yourself with other credible professionals, even if they are CPAs and mortgage people, which is kind of
for what, those turning comedian
I
today,
know that you notice for those of you that have listened to the show on a regular basis, you know that once in a while we do have a little comedy in here, because you know, don't you get sick and tired of all this serious stuff on the radio all the time?
Oh, just you know, world events is enough to depress
world
you.
Enough hey, boy, you're not kidding.
So and we need a little humor,
and then that's when we talk about our professions. There's not much humor in them.
No, that's what I'm trying to say.
When you accounting and
no, talk about taxes and accounting, boy, that's really a funny subject, you know. And mortgages, oh yeah, you
death
gotta fill
and taxes,
out. We have to fill out 80
thing.
Pieces of paper twice or four times.
Take a blood sample.
This makes you a real sample. This
death
makes you a real happy.
Taxes and mortgages.
So we.
So exciting subject.
So the bottom line
is, you don't
is,
have to pay them, but it gets a little uncomfortable if you don't.
Yes, that's true.
So there's kind of a clue here that we have Vince Rizzino, CPA. Vince is also what's called a forensic CPA, which means he has enough credentials to testify in court as an expert witness. And he also used to teach at university level in New York.
But not at Columbia.
He taught at, what's the name of that school?
SUNY, State University of New York.
It's kind of
old Westbury.
It's like an old school, you know, something.
Let's hear it for all those grads.
And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Mike's only been in the business for 25 years, give or take.
28.
Boy, you know what?
September,
can you imagine?
28.
Didn't we start when you'd only been in the business 6 weeks? It seems like it. But 28 years now. And also we have on the group, Mr. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, big word independent. Those of you that have lived in Florida for a long time have seen many changes, especially in homeowners insurance when premiums doubled or tripled or you got non-renewed. Dealing with an independent means he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client, and then he may have 80 or 20 or 30 different companies that he can go through. And behind the scenes, his job is to make sure you're protected. And then Gregory Fasula, attorney. You know, as soon as we say the word attorney, usually hairs stand up on your back of your neck and your arms, and that's not usually one of our favorite words, but Greg Fasula happens to be the only attorney I know personally I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor, because he happens to be a fine, wonderful, good, caring, loving person. And in spite, I can't say he's a liberal, because we're not allowed to talk politics on this show. Can't do that.
Not allowed.
But his son is an ultra conservative.
Yeah, that's what you said.
It's the funniest thing in the world. Anyway, can't talk about that, but that's okay. So the concept of the show is to answer questions to do with your money, with taxes, with insurance, with mortgages. And Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, those of you that have lived in Florida again a long time and especially gone through this last recession, the debacle of real estate and mortgages were hand in glove, and it was a terrible time. Refinances, HARP 1, HARP 2, which were refinance programs, deed backs, foreclosures, short sales. I mean, a lot of things that we never really talked about.
Yeah, much. A lot of terms that no one has ever heard of.
Yeah. And so then Mike and Victoria, been about 5 years now, I'm guessing,
mm-hmm.
And it just what we try to do is to help people answer all the questions that they might possibly have when it comes to do with most of the things that are services today. Now, folks, you're supposed to be students now. You're supposed to have a pen ready, and you're supposed to write down this phone number, 1-888-221-8990. Now, listen, class, I got Vince Rosino over here. See, I'm the teacher, and he's supposed to be paying attention. So he's talking in class to another student.
We were trying to work out a solution to a problem.
Get me the ruler, and I'm going to slap your...
What is this? This isn't Catholic school.
Catholic school is slap your wrist, or Christian school. I mean, you know, they're allowed to beat you up.
Well, I went to a Catholic school.
We all did.
I
didn't go to one.
Did you really?
I went to public school my entire life. I'm proud of it.
And then you graduated anyway?
I graduated anyway.
Scary.
City University of New York. I shouldn't say that. City Schools of New York.
City Schools.
And I went to City University of New York.
Well, hey, you know, it happens. You know, some people actually get to escape.
I was a city kid. What can I say?
Anyway, 888-221-8990. Any questions you might have about mortgages? Today's a really good day. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, is here. Any questions you have to do with taxes? Vince Rosino is here. Any questions you have to do with investing, money, IRAs, 401ks. In fact, we're going to talk about 401ks today. We had a new subject, Mike, that came up that maybe you have. You, what's the name of this?
It's called a self-directed solo IRA.
I know a little bit about this.
Have you heard of solo?
I heard of an IRA.
I know it's a solo 401k.
Solo 401k.
Yes.
New subject, which
I'd like to know about that.
Yes.
You know, and here's what happens: you guys in the mortgage business that are making too much money now, this thing really comes in handy. Vince, you want to start talking about that?
Yeah, well, you know, and thanks to Tyler last week for calling up asking us about this, because it's something that is, I don't want to say it's little known. I mean, they're around.
Yeah, but
it's not as well known as, say, a SEP IRA or a Roth IRA or a 401k, generally speaking. So what is a simple 401k or solo 401k?
Solo is the magic word.
Solo is basically, if you are the owner of a business and it's just you, no employees, perhaps you have your spouse who's an employee, but no other employees, then you would qualify for this solo 401k. What is the benefit? The benefit is you get to put away much more money than you would, say, in a SEP IRA or simple IRA.
Or traditional.
I thought a SEP was 20 to 25% of your annual income.
But it's profit. It's net. It's percentage of your net profit if you are self-employed, and that's what that is. But the benefit of the solo 401k, on the other hand, is you get the same benefits you would get with a traditional, and you get to make an employer contribution to your plan as well. So, to put it into
perspective, is it the same limits?
It is the same limits.
But you can double.
But you can put more in, because what happens is, let's say you make $100,000 profit in your business. If you make $100,000, you could put up to 25% away in the SEP. But you could also put away another $18,000 as part of that contribution as an employer.
Oh, so you can have both open at the same time.
So take about what the question, the way it came up with Tyler. Realtors right now are making a big buck because real estate's hotter than a pistol. And, you know, their realtors charge a decent commission. So let's just say some of these guys selling 10 $1 million houses in a month. They could make $60,000, $100,000, $200,000 in 1 month. Right? So now added up in a course of a year, it's a lot of money.
Well, as you get back on the point example with the $100,000, under the traditional, you could put away $25,000, but on this, you could put away $43,000.
There you go.
On a solo.
It allows you to almost double.
And there are other things you can do with it. There's flexibility within the self-directed solo that you can't do with.
Say, could you invest in real estate?
Yes, you could invest in real estate, precious metal, or things like that.
Well, you can't own precious metal in chunks.
It would be inside of the plan. It'd have to be a trustee. It's built in.
Now, what about real estate though? Can you go out and buy commercial real estate and leave it in your name?
No.
Or does it have to be through a trustee?
It would have to be part of a plan.
See, what happens is, you know, everything in the world that I've ever seen with any type of IRA or approved retirement,
the IRA would have to own it.
Well, and then you have to have a trustee or somebody else that is actually approved by the government to basically hold that thing. Mm-hmm. It's called a trustee, or there's another word that is used. It's not necessarily a trustee of an IRA. And I'm having a senior moment.
No, it's administrator or
custodian.
Custodian, right. Custodian, and then there's usually a fee associated with that, yes, that they would charge.
Exactly.
The downside, right, is there are fees.
Yeah, but the fees
depending on the, it depends on the bank, though, or the institution you go with. Some of them, mm-hmm, are more than others. Some of them are very negligible.
So. Well, most of the, like, as an example, when you deal with a stockbroker like me, it's like $35 a year, unless it's over a certain amount, and there's no fee. It's very, 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 very low fees. The key is this. If you can make, let's say, $250,000 a year, which is a lot of money, but you can put up to, let's say, $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000 aside and not pay tax on it this year.
When you're kind of capped out on that too, on an individual.
What's the cap on a solo?
Well, on a solo, it's $53,000 plus an extra $6,000 if you're over 50. So you could put up to $59,000.
So $59,000.
But if your spouse works for you together in your company, he or she could also put away.
Now you ought to,
if you're over 50, you could put another $59,000.
Now, technically, let's take a realtor. And if I'm an independent contractor as a realtor, Mike, and we run it, you run these every single day, and it's a realtor who's married, that spouse could automatically be an employee. They could set up any kind of vehicle and make that spouse an employee of that company and, mm-hmm, and divvy the money up between the two of you because you're filing jointly anyway.
Yeah, and you got to be careful, though, with these. It's the entity also would dictate how much and what mechanism that you're limited to. For example, if you're in an S corporation, mm-hmm, and you're a single member of that S corporation, single shareholder of that, right, corporation, it's based on wages, Joe. W-2 wages. So it's W-2 wages at 25% plus the employer contribution.
But if it's not, if it's
just a SEP and you're a Schedule C, for example, mm-hmm, then it would be net profit.
Yeah,
that would dictate.
So either way,
but you can't use a SEP for a S corp.
No, it can't because there's no concept of self-employment earnings in an S corp. The only way to get out self-employment earnings would be to pay Social Security, which means you have to take it as wages, and that's the limitation. That's why.
Now you can do an LLC, you can do a C corp, you can do all kinds of different vehicles, right?
Yes. An LLC is if it's taxed as a partnership is.
Yeah.
It's self-employment income, and if it's Schedule C, it's self-employment income.
100%.
And so the only thing you have to concern yourself with is really S corps or C corps.
Yeah.
And even C corps have their own rules, so that's
of course. Part. Let's skip that part. But most people today do LLCs or S corps.
S corps.
Mm-hmm. The key is this, and let's just expand on this. The basics of an IRA. If you're under age 50, you can put $5,500 a year that you don't pay tax on now into this savings account. And the rules are, when you turn 59 and a half. Whatever you put into there, you can start taking it out without a government penalty. It will be subject to tax at whatever your rate is at that time. If you're over 50, now you can put $6,500 a year into this vehicle. Same rule, after you turn 59 and a half, you can start taking it back out and you don't pay a penalty, but you will be subject to ordinary income tax at your then rate. Now, all of these vehicles, the next rule is, except for a Roth, is when you turn 70 and one half, if you have not started taking money out, you have to take money out unless...
unless you're still working.
Unless you're still working, and the 401k, the charter, allows you to keep working and not take out mandatory withdrawals. Somehow or other, the way it's just... And I would assume that almost everybody today that does a 401k with anybody would structure it in such a way that if you're going to continue to work, you don't have to take your required minimum distribution.
Speaking of Roth IRAs, Joe, and that's one of the big advantages of Roth IRAs is you don't have RMDs associated,
right,
with them. But just part of this solo 401k, right, you can actually open a sub-account within the solo 401k for a Roth. You can open up a Roth within the solo 401k. What does that mean? That means you could split that maximum contribution between pre-tax money and post-tax money. Hmm.
So let's just talk about, first of all, every type of IRA, every type of approved retirement plan, all of these have the same basic rules with the exception of the Roth. The rules are, prior to age 59 and a half, if you take money out, you'll pay a penalty plus tax. When you turn 70 and one half, you have to start taking money out based on a required minimum distribution unless it's a 401k with your employer that has set up a charter in such a way that says you don't have to. Okay? Now, go into a Roth. Roth IRA, same basic rules for contributing money, right? Under age 50, you can put $5,500 in, but you already pay tax on that money, right?
In a Roth, it's after-tax dollars you're putting. So you tax after-tax first, and then you put the money in. It's a savings account.
All the money that's in there, and all the money you contribute, and all the growth forever, in theory, not in theory, forever, is not subject to ordinary income tax. You can take it out at any time.
Not subject to any income tax. Not ordinary or otherwise.
Any kind of tax. However, there are rules about taking it out. Am I right?
Yes. You can't take that out before you're 59 and a half either. Right. There's severe penalties. But I want to take this opportunity to introduce another concept of this 401k solo.
Okay.
Is unlike an IRA, you can actually borrow money against this 401k.
From a 401k,
you can't borrow money against an IRA. You can borrow money against a solo 401k, and under certain circumstances, you could actually take it out for medical reasons, for hardship.
And don't they allow you to buy a house? Or
As a first-time home buyer, you could take up to $10,000, but then there's limitations. You have to pay it back in 5 years. But there's this whole concept of the loaning the money and borrowing as opposed to outright taking withdrawal and having to pay taxes or potentially a 10% penalty.
Right.
So there's a lot of advantages to this.
The key is this. The people that establish these things are normally into a pretty high income.
Not necessarily. For a solo 401k, you could be a husband and wife in an S corp. You're making money. You're taking.
You own a gift shop, and it's incorporated.
You can still put the $18,000 as a minimum. $18,000.
You have to be able to afford to put $18,000.
Oh, of course, but you don't have to be a Jagunda corporation
do that. No. So the key is this: the solo 401k or this, let's say, husband and wife company, small. The key with this is also there's no employees.
Yeah, it cannot have any employees. It's designed for the sole practitioner or solo.
So small business person,
small business with just a spouse and
works extremely well for commissioned agents, especially real estate. Mm-hmm. When you're working all by yourself and you're a commissioned agent working for XYZ Realty, and you're working strictly on commission.
And you know why that's so important for them, Joe, is because you can determine on a year by year basis how much you want to put away.
Right.
You're not locked in.
First of all, what that means is this. You don't have to contribute the same amount of money. You can stop taking it, you can stop contributing, you can start contributing. There's no 100% rules about how much you have to put in. There are limits to how much you can put in, but you don't have to do it every week, every month. You can do one check a year, you can do it weekly, monthly, whenever you're in the mood, and contribute money to that account. I've got people that have SEPs and simples, and then that contribute on a regular monthly basis, but
on a simple, you can only put a max of $12,650 away
per year,
plus 3% if the employer decides to match you.
Right.
And then they can only match up to 3%.
Now, I have never seen one of such vehicle. Every time I've seen an employer match, it's been a 401k. I mean, personally.
They can do it on a simple plan. Yeah.
But have you ever seen one of those? Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, you would because you're in that tax business.
I see them from time to time. But they can match up to 3%.
1-888-221-8990. You're supposed to be calling us, folks. You're supposed to have questions. Anything to do with IRAs, saving money, whether it's in an IRA, a Roth IRA simply means that you're going to pay tax on the money first, and when you take it out, all the profit and everything you put in, it's all going to be tax-free after you turn 59 and a half. And there's certain times you can take out some of that money prior to age 59 and a half. The 401k allows you to borrow money from yourself.
Why can't you borrow against an IRA?
That's the rule. Government says no. Hmm. It's not called.
They are for retirement purposes and only retirement purposes. It's just the way the 401 regulations are written.
Hmm. Yeah. And you know, this is, I've always said it's like being Catholic. Don't ask questions, you just are one.
Until you get old enough to start asking questions.
Until you get old. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. $89.90.
Yeah, so what happens is they actually force you to take a distribution, which is, you know, it could be devastating to people. Have to pay that penalty.
Yeah, to pay tax.
And pay the tax, and then what do you wind up with? Yeah. Peanuts.
Well, it depends. If you're old, 70 and a half, and you have to take a distribution, in theory, you're not supposed to be working.
Well, we're talking about those that are 59 and a half and younger. Yeah. So if you're over 59 and a half, you just have the income tax.
Could you transfer money from an IRA to one of these solo 401k?
I don't believe so.
Has to
you
be,
could go the other way.
Has
you
to
could
be
put 401k
into an IRA.
Trampling. But I don't think you can go backwards to an IRA.
All has to be earned income. It can't be passive income.
Right.
So that's another thing with them, because I have this regularly, clients say, Joe, I want to add money to my IRA, but I'm not working anymore. You can't do it.
No.
So that's why you can't use the K-1 from a Schedule E for the solo.
It No, you can't. Because what, then you'd be
see, now he's using he's using in-house words here, folks. Don't pay attention to what he's saying.
Okay, well, what Mike is saying is a K-1. If you receive a K-1, it's normally because you're part of an entity.
It's a past.
You're either a partnership or an S-Corp member or something. But even so, in an S-Corp, it depends on who owns the company. If it's just you and you get a K-1, doesn't matter. But if you're a partner in a partnership and it's not your spouse who's the partner, then that would disqualify.
So what are the rules for that? So let's say you make $100,000 in your K-1, then how much of this can you put into this solo?
Well, if you're an S-Corp, you could put up to 25% of your wages. And
plus a percentage of any W-2 income.
No, it's all based on W-2. You don't get, remember, an S-Corp, there is no concept of self-employment earnings in an S-Corp. It's not a concept. It's foreign. Your earnings, usually subject to self-employment tax, are, as long as it's reasonable compensation, there's a little some quirks in there. But if you pay yourself a reasonable wage, then you're...
On a regular basis, weekly, monthly, quarterly, something.
Then the wage on your W-2 would determine the eligibility for putting away up to 25% of it.
I see.
So anything that's excess that you're flowing through is dividends? That wouldn't be eligible.
That's not earned income.
It's not earned income. Theoretically, it's a dividend.
Yeah.
So if you had an S-Corp, then you may have to switch the entity maybe to an LLC.
If you do that, if you switch it to an LLC, then all of the earnings would be subject to self-employment tax. That's the downside. You're going to pay Social Security on all of it. But then you'd increase your ability to put away money. Yes.
But you also increase your Social Security build up in theory.
Yeah, in theory. You
know, if it's there.
If it see that's the magic word is when you get guys in their 40s, they still say that stuff, right?
Well, I got guys in their 60s are saying it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm in my 50s.
We got one here in 70s.
Hey, I'm in my 50s and I'm concerned.
I'm collecting. I'm a happy camper. Anyway.
Well, you know, that's interesting. And I'll roll right into, you know, Social Security, because that's a big question that comes up now also is, should I take my Social Security early?
You see,
huge question.
I, folks, this is Joe Martek talking now. This is not Vince Rosino. This is not Mike. This is not the government, anybody. But I personally believe the Social Security system will never go away, ever. However, it will be amended from time to time. And already it has been amended, meaning full retirement age used to be 65. Now it's 66 and something.
Mm-hmm. And 67 and something for others.
Is it as you get the old, like when Mike finally gets it, I think you get
He'll
to be 103 or something,
no,
Mike?
Mike,
I
think
he'll probably
right
change
now.
It to 80 by the time.
By the time
you get. Well, you know, Joe, let's face it. The system is not very well funded. In fact, it's not funded at all.
Right.
They it's interesting. They talk about, well, by 2034, Social Security
supposed
will
to be broke, right?
Broke. What's their concept of broke? There's no money there now.
What happens
they're
is...
Just what they're saying is that the contributions to the program from workers is shrinking while the liability for retirees is growing.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more broke every year.
So there will be some modifications to the program. Like right now, one of the things that I don't understand at all, and I never hear anybody talk about it, the Social Security contribution is based on your income. And after you make $135,000 a year or whatever.
No, it's $118,500.
After that, you don't contribute anymore.
That's correct. Except for Medicare. You do contribute
Medicare you keep, but not for Social Security.
No.
And I thought, how dumb is this? That the people making $300,000 a year only pay Social Security on their first $118,000. Well, think about how
many... Well, that's because the Social Security income is capped.
No.
When you're... start receiving it.
When you start receiving it, yeah. But the top benefit today is around $2,800 or $2,500 a month.
But we all know that it's not actuarially sound. So I don't even know where they got these limits.
Where they come with
their
numbers.
Because clearly there's not enough being taken out of paychecks to cover the liability.
There's my point, is that that needs to be modified. And I believe at some point somebody will figure that out. I've never
heard. You want to fix this Social Security system in one fell swoop? Like you just said. Put no cap on Social Security.
No cap, yeah.
You pay on every dollar.
Pay on every dollar. No matter.
The upper income people are not going to like that very much.
Well, but then on the other hand, the upper guy making $1 million a year, if he has to pay another 10% into the system, you know, you and I know people, and I know people specifically that are high rollers. They have never even applied for Social Security that are over 65. They don't even care about it. Not that it isn't you or me. But when you're making $5, $6, $8, $10 million a year.
Yeah, but when you're making $250 and you live in a place like San Francisco or New York City.
Now a different person.
That's a different animal.
But that's now a different person.
Then you care.
So literally what Vince is saying, if it's capped at 118 now.
118.5. Maybe a little more. It's inflation adjusted.
Why do they cap it at all is the question. The contribution. See, that makes no sense. Especially. I'm worrying about you, Mike, you know, because you're not going to get yours to 85.
I believe they should cancel Social Security altogether and just make it self-investment.
Well, there's tons of people that believe that. But let me tell you right now, you're living in Florida doing mortgages. Mm-hmm. If Social Security and Medicare were not in business and nobody was collecting Social Security and Medicare, you wouldn't be doing mortgages in Florida because we'd have nobody here. Old people.
He'd be doing mortgages somewhere else.
You'd be living in Philadelphia.
I'm still a firm believer that I can invest my money so much better than the government can invest my
money. We all know you can do that.
I know that everybody knows true. That part. And, you know, in theory, I agree with your argument because I've said that all my entire life. But here's the downside. That's because the people like you and others, you're probably in the top.
You're making
top 10% of the earners in America. 10%. Maybe 15%. Oh, yeah.
Maybe even 2%.
The 85% or 90% of Americans, this is their source of support or income in their retirement. And if you're going to leave it to a lot of people to take the money and don't put it away, because that's what happened. They would spend it.
They would spend it.
And then they get to be 65 years old and they have nothing to live on.
It could be managed. I believe you can say that,
but the answer is no.
I don't think so.
You're going to take a wage earner making $15 an hour, and his wife's making $12 an hour, and they got four kids. They don't save a nickel, not a penny. Mm-hmm. Now, they work their whole life, and maybe they get up to $20 an hour, but they now bought that 26-foot boat because they can finally afford it. And then they might even buy a second home because they can afford it. But they don't have 10, 20, 30, 50, 100,000 in savings.
That money could be put back into the taxpayer's pocket, and they could be required to invest in allowable investments.
You know what they're going to do, Mike? They're going to force an IRA on you. It's going to be the My IRA that the government
is talking about. Okay. But that's okay.
We're saying the same thing. Social Security is a forced savings account, exactly. But it's controlled 100% by the government. And you and I, we're all agreeing.
But that money is not going into an account invested in my behalf.
No.
And it's not going to go into your account.
Right.
If you think the government controls it.
If you think, if somebody can pull this off that would allow us, and they've been trying to do this, allow even a portion of that money to be invested, controlled by you, rather than controlled by the government, which is no control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all agree on that part. That's a whole different subject.
I don't think the government will ever let you control your own. And it's in the digital age, it's very easy to move money around on paper. It becomes all just one big paper transaction. When the system blows up, Mike, we're all in trouble. Because those digital accounts might just go poof.
1-888-221-8990. Which leads me into my million, billion, trillion story. You've heard my million, billion, trillion story. How many times now?
A billion, trillion times.
Okay.
At least a couple trillion.
You'll listen again. Here's what we were.
But not everyone has heard it, so let's move forward with it.
We were alluding to the fact that the government is not a good money manager, which we were alluding to that.
Well, witness $19 trillion in debt.
Now, you ever notice that when we talk million, billions, and trillions, most of us don't pay too much attention because our checkbooks.
Most people don't know how many zeros that is.
That's a lot of zeros. And our checkbooks, I don't think there's enough room across the ledger to put those zeros in. So let's just do perspective, trivia, but perspective. And that is this. 1 million seconds, tick, 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 is 12 days.
Mm.
So $1 million at a second, every second of the day would take you 12 days. If you threw in front of a fireplace, threw in a dollar every second, it'd take you 12 days to spend $1 million. However, $1 billion, tick, 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 is 32 years.
Mm.
So there's a bit of difference between a million seconds and a billion. $1 million and a billion. However, the one I love, a trillion seconds is 32,000 years.
Wow.
Times 19, that's our deficit.
So we'll never pay this back, John.
So the key is this. Never is a strong word. We'll be dead.
How's eternity?
Yeah, okay, eternity is pretty good. Key is this, the odds are good.
Does this carry over to heaven?
You come in with the ledger.
Come in with the ledger. Yes. The key is, when we're talking about politics and the government and what goes on, yeah, we're all discouraged about that. But that's the reality of what happens. So now what we're talking about is, how can you get to keep some of your money for yourself that doesn't go to the government? That might help you in retirement, and these different type of retirement vehicles, from IRAs, traditional IRAs, 403s, 457s, pick a number. There's SEPs, simples, there's all kinds of different vehicles, and they work differently for different people, and you have to look at what your circumstances are to see which one fits you the best. So we had Tyler call last week and talk about this solo, which we had not, and basically, it allows you to put almost $50,000 a year aside and not pay
up to $59,000 per person,
and not pay tax.
Over 50.
So if you got a husband and wife, and you're a realtor, and you can make her an employee of your little company, which you can do, it's a paperwork thing. You got now $118,000 a year, so you have a big year. You make $300, you get to keep $200, and you don't pay tax on the $118. And now you finally get old, and you can take it back out when you're not working. Hallelujah. And you'll pay ordinary income tax on it at that point. But it's still a great benefit to people that have good earning years.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely tremendous.
888-221-8990. Now, Pastor Tom might have turned off the phones.
I don't know. You know, Joe, I'm getting to wonder whether we're actually on the air.
We're sitting here talking to these microphones.
We're not getting... Nobody's calling.
Listen.
I wonder if we're really on the
anybody
air.
Anybody that's listening, just call in and just say, hey, you guys are live.
Just say, this is a test.
This is a test. You could just call up, you know, because, you know, the guy that's a temporary that came in and who said he doesn't know what's happening, he may have left already, he may have turned everything off. We don't know.
But we're still having a good conversation between the three of us.
Yes, that's true. We're all learning from each other. Yeah, this
you know what happens is, true, it's the one thing our group does. Mike, you know your business. Vince knows his. I know mine. There's no way in the world you can know all of these things. Hey, guess what?
We are on the air.
This is Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Oh, hey, you're coming in loud.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. We feel better now. You're the first call we've had.
I think when we start talking about taxes, we put people to sleep out there.
Maybe.
Anyway,
Social Security.
Do you have a question, or you're just doing us a favor?
Look, I'm a young guy. I definitely fall in the 85% category rather than the top 10%.
Okay.
I would love to be able to put away some money, million, billion, trillion.
We all agree, right?
You might be speaking over some people's heads, and your audience, I'm sure you have a big audience, but they don't need to call in.
No. The only reason I did the million, billion, trillion story is to put perspective. When people talk these dollars, most of us don't pay any attention because our checkbooks don't have that many zeros. You know,
correct.
And, you know, the last time I got a $1 million paycheck, I don't remember because it never happened.
Exactly. Oh.
So, but we're also talking about how the government affects our income and our savings and the potential. As a young guy here, you're going to look forward. How old are you?
45.
Okay, so you got a long ways to go to get Social Security, and what we're trying to say is it going to be available? Is it going to be the same as it is now? Like, now you can't start taking full benefit till you're 66 and something. It might be 70, 75 years old by the time you get there.
I think his normal retirement is 67.
And we're living a lot longer, too.
Yes, my point.
Yeah.
Well, that was the whole concept when Social Security started. You weren't supposed to live so long. And now all of a sudden, modern medicine and diets and all that kind of good stuff.
Now, you know the original date was 65 for retirement age,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, in 1936, when this came out, Joe, when it was passed, what do you think what was the average lifespan?
I don't know, but it's a
65.
Lot older.
65.
What?
65.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you weren't expected to collect.
You weren't expected
then.
To collect
no.
on average.
No. Now you're supposed to live to be. If you live to make it to 80, the odds are good you're going to make it to 100 now. They got these different statistics.
Why
right?
do I hear bells ringing?
Because my phone is ringing in my pocket and I'm trying to hide it.
Oh, okay. You're supposed to shut it off.
Hey, thank you so much for calling in. If you've got any other comments or questions or anything, we'd love to hear you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, caller. We appreciate it.
I think he hung up on us already. Yes, he did. Okay. 1-888-221-8990.
Well, I'm glad we're on the air, Joe. I was starting to think that nobody was hearing us.
Yeah. Well, it does happen, you know. That
would have been hilarious.
Some shows we get 10, 15, 20 calls. Some shows, like this one, we had to beg for one. At least we got one that says, hey, we are still here. But... So what's going on, Mike? Your subject is normally mortgages. People have questions. Talk to me about mortgages.
Yeah, well, Joe, we're doing a lot of, because of the lack, we have a call.
Hey, speaking of which, caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. I have a question about, I don't know if you guys know anything about the student loans and that program they have. I come across when I'm on Facebook, I come across that Obama, something about a help that you can... They can take off something from your student loan, like some type of help. Did you guys know anything about that?
I wish I could help you with that, caller, but no. I know there are some employers out there that are instituting new programs now to help employees with student loans.
Yeah.
I know there's repayment programs that are based on your income now, because I've done numerous mortgages for people just getting out of colleges, and their student loans are hundreds of thousands of dollars,
right?
And they're not paying back what needs to be paid back because it's based on what they're earning.
Yeah. My understanding is in a student loan, if you're not in school, net income, after-tax income, that you can pay no more than 15% of your net after-tax income to your student loan. However, I have heard of modifications. Mike, have you not heard of modifications on student loans?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I mean, it's very important that you do understand that when you start repaying these at a lower amount, you might not be making your interest payments on that.
Oh, so they accumulate more.
Yeah, so they're still going to get their interest.
So you're building principal as you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Isn't that
exciting? Like negative amortization arm.
That's right. I was just going to say, it sounds familiar.
Well, we probably didn't answer this to make you feel any better. But my understanding is, too, and I know a person who is now in her 60s that is never going to quit going to school because as long as you're going to school, you don't have to make payments on a student loan.
Right.
So stay in school the rest of your life.
But the interest does still accumulates.
Yeah, there you go. Now's the time to go back. I don't know how many hours you have to take, but that'd be something to research. You could take it online courses forever and never have to make a payment. Well, then die one day, and you know, I think it's gone after that.
It's the perfect solution.
Perfect solution.
You just live
right?
in debt. Never pay it.
Never pay it. Right. Only way out is to die. Right.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thanks for calling. 888-221-8990.
You know, they've had these for years, these reprograms on the student loans where you could cut your interest rate every once in a while. They offer you
Doing that now?
Oh, yeah, they were. I don't know lately.
Let's take another call.
Go ahead.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I just recently moved into the Florida area, and I sold my home in Ohio. Presently employed here and probably have another 8 to 10 years to work.
I'm so happy for you.
should I go ahead and invest in another property or invest the profit of the sale of my home in liquid?
Question. Now that's a really, really good question, and it really depends on you. I mean, it's called what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish with that money?
Well, I'm 10 years from retirement, and so I'm a little bit
hesitant because of the market fluctuating up and down with the housing market. And then now they're telling us that perhaps even the liquid market might fluctuate as well. So I'm kind of like in limbo here. What do I do?
Are you renting now?
Are you renting right now?
Yeah.
Why not? See, you can buy a brand new house today or a used house and get a 3.5% or 4% or 3% mortgage.
Yeah, especially in your situation. I'm a big advocate for shorter term loans. 15-year mortgages today, you can get under 3%. Now, if you take that money and you invest it in a good investment program, Joe, what do you think is a reasonable amount?
5 or 6% is not hard to do in a very, 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 very low risk return.
So if you take a 15-year mortgage at 3%,
yeah,
and your after-tax deduction, because the interest on your mortgage is tax deductible, and so is your real estate taxes,
right?
And in some cases, your mortgage insurance as well,
right?
So what are you effectively paying for that?
So what happened? Like what Mike's saying is that your real interest rate might end up being like 2%, even if you're paying 3% because of tax deductions and all of that that you get when you own a house. Then if you had excess cash left over, you could earn 5 to 6% on that money without doing any undue risk. You're not going to be in market. You're not going to be in stock. We're going to be in what's called debt instruments. Debt instruments meaning like a note or a car note or a house note, but we have some major companies that are paying 5 and 6%. That keeps you liquid money that you can touch anytime you want. And then the house gives you tax deductions, and you're not going to get lower interest rates than two-something interest rate.
And we didn't even talk about appreciation of the house, potential appreciation.
And then 10 years in theory, and the reality is this, even though the market has gone through some major upheavals, the always value of real estate long-term historically has gone up at least 5 or 7% a year. Mm-hmm. So if I were you and you got 10 more years to work, buying a house would be a priority of mine after you sold your other one. And any leftover cash you've got, you can put it in a 5 or 6% account and keep it liquid in case of. And then 10 years from now you retire, then, hey, you call me and we're going to take a trip to Hawaii on your money.
and then you could take a reverse mortgage out.
Yeah, yeah.
$665. There's an opportunity for me to buy a condo, but the HOA is $655 a month.
Wow,
a month?
That's very high.
That's high.
So, that's a three-bedroom condo, as opposed to, because I came from a house, so I'm kind of
What area are you living in?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, so you're into a pretty expensive area, right? Now you want to stay living in that area because that's somewhat close to your work. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So
very close.
What you need to do is to find a decent realtor to help you, to direct you maybe into a single family home that does not have an HOA, which $650 a month, or if that homeowners association is charging you $650 a month, I'm assuming they have a full-time guard service. I'm assuming they take care of every bit of maintenance on the outside of the property.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do.
It's got to be a really nice, really nice area, right?
It's nice, but even the banker told me, look around.
That's a pretty high dollar. So
yeah, he just didn't agree with the HOA, and I'm like, what?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're getting for the money. And yeah, it depends on what's important to you.
Let me ask you one more thing. I've also been pondering about perhaps investing in a property close to where my children live, so that when I do retire, then I would have a place to move to.
Where is that? What location is that?
That would be North Carolina.
Okay. So now,
I'm wondering, what do I do?
Well, that's a good question. Now that becomes a really difficult question, because what if the children move from North Carolina to South Carolina?
Yep. And then you're an out-of-state landlord.
That's right. Yep.
And you're also going to have a piece of property that if you rent it, you're now a landlord and you're not there handling it, and you trust your kids to do it for you. And I don't know if you ever noticed, kids don't always do exactly what they're supposed to do. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, I'm a teacher, so...
Yeah, you do know that rule then. So what I'm trying to say is I can't advise you one way or another on buying out-of-state property. On the other hand, if you love North Carolina, and a lot of people in Florida, they retire to North Carolina because they love it. And in the long run, that might not be a bad plan if you bought a place now with today's dollars and with the concept of retiring in 10 years and you had your house here, you might win.
But here's the other thing, Joe. Caller, how old are your children? The ones that live in North Carolina.
Did we lose you?
Anyway, the point I was going to make, Joe, is I guess what there's a kind of rule of thumb is you don't chase after your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll buy a house up in North Carolina. Yeah. They're a young couple, and his job or her job calls her out of state.
But there's another chain of thought, too. If you invested here with the idea of eventually selling this property and buying something down there, and you could do a like-kind exchange, so you don't have to pay taxes.
Like-kind on commercial property, not on residential property.
On residential, there's no tax on a sale of a property.
I'm talking if you bought an investment property here, then there would be.
Investment property.
Correct.
But point is, what she's looking at is like a second home or potential. And I'm just reading between the lines. If you want to be up there with your kids.
Well, she said investment. She wanted to invest in a property.
Yeah, today it would be an investment property.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If it's an investment property, yes, then she could exchange it, yes, and defer any gains.
However, then you've got a depreciation schedule, repaying, both know, investment properties have pluses and minuses. And it's a real, you have to, her situation and her questions are, now if she's a teacher in Fort Lauderdale, unless she's a college professor, she's making less than $75,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not high bucks. So yes, she's got cash that she had left over from the sale of a home in Ohio, and she's going to invest that money into two places. But all of a sudden, if you lose your tenant, and you have an investment property and you don't have the cash to carry it, I mean,
right.
you got a double-edged sword.
You get into a hole.
Yeah.
And again, and to invest out of state, is particularly if you're trying to invest where your children are, you don't know ultimately where they're going to be. And then you may wind up having to sell that house anyway.
But here's the key. If you buy your house here and you sell it in 10 years, and now you buy the place up in North Carolina.
You can move anywhere you want.
Yeah, I mean, you can move anywhere, and now you pick up, let's say, $100,000 in profit. Pick a number. I don't care what the number is. You're going to make some profit in theory. Now, if the market is terrible at that time, you don't do it. You know, you can always rent back up there again. There's all the options in the world. Once you make decisions and you get locked in, it can be a problem. So it's not an easy – the question is easy. The decision is not easy.
Right.
But literally – if I were her and I had sold my house up north, I'd be looking at a place down here. But in Fort Lauderdale, $650 a month is a pretty tough HOA.
That's just the HOA.
Well, a lot of people are just anti-HOAs, but, you know, they do serve a purpose. They cover the grounds. Just to cut your lawn and maintain your lawn is $150,
$160
a month.
I wanted to be in an HOA.
Because
I didn't want to get out there with the lawnmower.
Now, here's the key that you've got to look at. You know, in theory, the HOA is a pass-through. There's no profit in there. They bring a dollar in, they spend a dollar, mm-hmm. and they have reserves. They do all kinds of stuff. But there's no, they're not gouging people. This is what it costs to maintain that community and that property. So she's in a nice, nice place. It's got pretty. You know.
Plus, you don't know what the $665 covers. Sometimes in these places, they'll cover the roof, for example.
Yeah.
They guarantee the roof.
She said condo.
Well, if it's a condo, then they are covering it.
It's everything on the outside.
Yeah, yeah. Everything.
Everything.
Like, they don't cover the roofs.
And
they pressure wash them, but they don't prepare them.
Yeah, a lot of times these condos weren't properly, maintained for reserves.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, some of the $650, a lot of the $650 could be making up on lost reserves that they never collected.
Mismanagement.
You've got
to do some research on that stuff, yeah, to make sure. Now, let's say it's a 10-year-old condo, and like you're just saying, Mike, the developer at that time may not have funded the association properly, and now the association has to pick up the slack to get it back up where it belongs.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
These are all questions that an astute buyer has to learn. Here comes the magic thing. Getting hold of a competent realtor that can guide you and bring up the questions and help you make a conscious decision. And what I'll do, if you're even though you hung up on us or we hung up on you, I'm not sure which, I can have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, give her a call and counsel her over the phone. Maybe she can refer somebody down there that'll help her. We can take that one.
She knows quite a few people.
You know it. 1-888-221-8990 888-221-8990 And I think we are
almost out of time. I think we have about 2.5 minutes.
Well, you know, let me.
We need Pastor Tom here to hold up the cards.
We need the flashcards.
Yeah. Pastor Tom laying in the hospital. He may be under the knife right now as we speak.
Our prayers go out to you, Pastor Tom. I know you're listening.
I hope so. Unless he's under the knife, he couldn't.
I think he was supposed to go in earlier in the day.
Yeah.
He may be in recovery. We don't know.
If he went in today.
Do you think that's the first thing he's going to want to do is listen to us?
Yes, definitely.
I think this is probably the last thing he wants to do, listening to this show, having me pick on him. Let me just talk about what this lady was talking about a little bit, though, and that's called, let's take it, low-risk investment. When I think about no risk investment, you have to go to the bank. And what's the bank going to pay? It's going to pay a quarter or a half or maybe one if you're really lucky.
And who's to say that's no risk, Joe? Remember back to 2008?
Well, here's what happens, though. You got FDIC that now protects you up to $250,000. So let's assume that she's dealing with a bank that has FDIC, which that pretty means the good faith of our whole entire government, which I don't care what anybody says, America's not going out of business. We may have our problems and political problems, but we're not going out of business. So the next thing is this. How do I get out of that and get into something that's going to pay me something decent, but I'm not taking undue risk? And right today, most people say, Joe, would you be in the market? Well, my opinion is no. The market today is what's called full. By anybody's estimation, by many estimations, it's overpriced. So literally today, I like these 5% and 6% debt instruments, which means they're not common stock. You don't own the company and you're collecting interest. And they're liquid. We can buy them today, sell them tomorrow. Anybody that needs to get information on these things, that lady's a perfect person that wants to know that. How do I have a decent return on my money without going to the bank? 1-888. How much time do we have here, Mr. Producer? 3 minutes. Hey, way to go. Pastor Tom taught you how to flash cards.
After 44 years, I've learned.
You learned. One. Now, listen, if you don't have time to call, which you really don't, you can call the radio station, and Pastor Tom's not going to answer the phone, I don't think, for a few days, but this young man or another young lady probably will, and take your name and number, and we'll get back to you.
I think we're back with the staff in here sometime tomorrow, so.
Staff's back tomorrow?
There's a person that should be here tomorrow.
Famous last words.
Good.
I like the word should, you know.
That, yeah.
1-888-221-8990. Now remember this. The group includes Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, REMAX of Stewart, Vince Rosino, CPA, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor.
That just about covers it, Joe.
I think we're pretty close. How much time we have left here, Chief?
You got about 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Mike,
whoa,
we cure the ills of the world in 2 minutes.
Well, you know what? Our biggest product right now are renovation loan and construction loans right now.
New ring. Think about that.
Renovation loan.
Mike was talking about this earlier today.
Yeah.
You can buy a house and then tack it on, like, say, 10 or 20 grand to go renovations, as long as it appraises, assuming that work was done.
We can finance that in.
That's kind of nice, because you can buy an old house that needs a lot of work.
Yeah. You see, that's the problem right now. There's not much inventory out there to look at.
Right.
So you can find something that you can, you know, fix up. We can finance that into
what
the loan.
What controls do you have in there, Mike, for those things? So you're giving somebody $50,000.
Well, we send out inspectors as the project
and
progresses.
Draws,
and we
like draw
just like
loan.
A construction loan. And that's another thing we can help you with, too. We have FHA, VA, and conventional construction loans.
The whole concept is these are just new programs that weren't necessarily available not too long ago. But
oh yeah, about 5 years ago, you couldn't finance anything with new construction.
No. 1-888-221-8990. We've got it almost flashed a one. Oh, we got 1 minute.
We got a minute.
Was this, how long did it take you to learn this training to learn how to flash these cards?
Learn that with the multiplication table
with
about,
multiplication
you know,
table.
About 55, 60 years ago.
You are old.
But something like that.
Yeah. Hey, don't you feel right at home now? Because you're not the oldest guy here.
We're not sure about that.
Well, I'm reasonably sure.
Okay.
How old are you?
62.
See? You're even older than
I'm
him.
I'm older than him.
And this is my son.
Joe, you're dating yourself.
I have been dated forever. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Well, let's see if we can find a way to close the program and let people know who you are, how to get a hold of you again, and then we'll do a station ID, and we'll just kind of bow out of this gracefully without the music and out the disclaimer. We'll just...
So we're done, is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much we're coming up there.
Hey, this is Joe Martek. This was the Team Martek Hour. You call 1-888-221-8990 anytime during the week. They'll take your name and number, and we'll get back to you. 1-888-221-8990. And thank you very much for calling in and letting us know that we actually were on the air.
That's right.
We
appreciate it. Thank you, callers. Thank you, all those listeners out there.
Okay. Thank you.
WCNO.